The gospel reading today is our Lord is asked if only a few will be saved. He tells us that we have to strive to enter through the narrow gate, the gate that only a few are going to be able to make it through. At the same time, he tells us that many will come from the north and the south, the east and the west, and they will recline a table in the kingdom of God. And so obviously there are many who will be there. But what is interesting is the way that the Lord is presenting this. He says to these people, again, you got to remember, these are Jewish people that he's speaking to. So Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets are going to be in heaven. And there are going to be people who were pagans from the north and south and east and west. But you yourselves, he said, may not make it. You're going to say, but we ate and drank with you. You preach in our streets, and he's going to say, I don't know you. And so we recognize that same principle, that we need to live according to what we've been given because we are held to a higher accountability. The Jewish people at that time were held to a higher accountability than the pagans. Now we have been given the fullness of truth, way beyond what the Jewish people were given. Consequently, we are going to be held to an even higher or greater responsibility. And so we have to be striving with our whole heart to live the faith, to be able to look at it and say, okay, how did Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob do this? How did the prophets do this? What's the difference between them and me? By that, I don't mean, well, obviously the prophets had the word of God being given to them and they were preaching. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm saying, how did they live their lives? Because none of them was perfect. They sinned, they messed up, they did all kinds of stupid things. And the wonderful thing is when you read scripture, they don't even try to hide it. They're not looking at it and saying, look how wonderful I am and the rest of you are a bunch of losers. No, they're right out there letting you see their sins. So they're just like we are. They're weak, they're broken, they're sinful, and yet they're in heaven. How? Because they were striving to live their lives for God. God was the focus. God wasn't just there. He wasn't just a part of their lives. He was the center of their lives. They were trying to live their lives for God. Again, you look at somebody like King David. David did some horrible things. Committed adultery and then had the husband of the woman killed. And yet what does God say? I found David, a man after my own heart. It's like, what? But David repented of his sins. And he could be forgiven. He was somebody who wanted to serve the Lord. And that was what he was striving to do most of the time. And when he messed up and he fell, and it was big, he repented. And that's what we have to be about as well. As St. Paul would say, we've all sinned and fallen short of the kingdom of God. We can't get there by ourselves. Just as St. Paul tells us in the first reading, we can't even pray by ourselves. We don't even know how to pray as we ought. But we need to make every effort on our part. The Holy Spirit, with prayer, St. Paul tells us, will fill in and take care of the rest. The same is going to have to be true with the way we're living our lives. But are we really trying to live our lives for the Lord? That's what it all comes down to. If we're striving to live our lives for God, then we don't have anything to worry about. Yeah, we need to get up and we need to brush ourselves off and get to confession, confess our sins. Absolutely. But the Lord knows what we're doing and why we're doing it. If we're striving to make him the center of our lives, if we're trying to live our lives for Him, He's going to bless us. And yes, we're going to fall, and that actually becomes something that's a necessity. Because otherwise, we all know all too well in our human pride, we would start to think pretty highly of ourselves. Look how great I am. Look how wonderful I'm doing. Look at how impressive I am. Look at how holy I've become. Doesn't work. And so God allows us to fall flat on our face. He allows us to sin because it keeps us humble. That doesn't give us permission to go out and sin, obviously. But it's going to happen because we're weak and we're broken. But if we, in our weakness and brokenness, can continue to get up and can continue to get back to confession and continue to strive to live our lives for the Lord, then His mercy is going to take care of it. If we don't think we really need Him and we can do it all by ourselves, good luck. If we can't even pray the way that we ought because we don't even know how are we going to live our lives as we ought? Because surely we don't know how to do that either. So we need the Lord to be able to do that. We need Him to help us. That's the narrow gate. Because He said, I am the gate. No one comes to the Father except through Him. He's the only way. And we aren't going to be able to barge through the gate somehow by ourselves. We need Him. So we need to make ourselves dependent on Him. That might sound childish or immature or whatever to us. It is not if it's done in the spiritual way. It is recognizing our own weakness, and it's recognizing that we have to be dependent on Him. Try as you may, you cannot get to heaven by yourself. Our Blessed Lady never once sinned in her entire life, and she could not get to heaven by herself, by her own doing. It is only by God's grace and by His power that we can get to heaven. So we're dependent on Him to get there. And that doesn't just simply mean at the point of the resurrection we're dependent on God to be able to transfer us from here up to there. It means everything. We're dependent on Him. Remember, He said, without Me, you can do nothing. We must be dependent on Him. Our pride keeps saying, I can do this by myself. I'll let you know if I need some help. Well, then, if that's the case, we better start letting them know. We need help for everything. That's the part we must always understand. And again, we know it in our heads. The question is, do we actually live it in our lives? Are we really focused on Him, depending on Him, serving Him, all the things that we should be doing? That's not going to happen unless we're praying. And we need the Holy Spirit even to do that for us. So we have to do our part. We have to do 100% of what we can do by God's grace. And then we need to depend on Him to do the rest. So we can't just sit back and say, oh, let God do it. Now that's a heresy called quietism. We have to do our part. But then we have to rely on Him for everything else because we can't do it. Pure and simple, we cannot. But He can do wonderful things in us. And if we are willing to allow Him to do that, in other words, the more that we can get out of the way, the more that He can do. So that's what He wants to do in each one of us. The most wonderful thing, again, just in case we get some weird idea about what that means, and we think, oh, if God's going to do wonderful things, then I'm going to be working miracles, and I'm going to be doing extraordinary things. Not necessarily. The most wonderful thing is to be able to go to heaven There's nothing more wonderful than that. And if you can cooperate with God so that you can become the saint that he's calling you to be in whatever manner he's calling you to do that, then you're going to see the most wonderful thing that could possibly happen. And that is that he will bring you to eternal life. So don't worry about signs and wonders and extraordinary things. Just worry about staying in the state of grace, growing in holiness, keeping God at the center, living your life for him. And if you're doing that, then he's going to bring you to heaven where you can be with him. He is the center of everything, and everyone in heaven is living their lives for him. So it's just going to translate from here to there. What we're already doing here, we're just going to continue to do. So we just have to learn how to do it and work to do it better and better, which means more humility and more charity. That's what it's all about. So keep striving in that way, because we're held to a higher responsibility, a higher accountability. The gate is very narrow for us. It's maybe wide for the people who don't know, because they're not held to the same standard. But we know better. And so we know there is only one way, and there is only one gate, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Strive to enter through that gate. The way to do that is just be united with him, live your life for him, and the gate for heaven is wide open to you.